Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Positive Education Podcast. My name is Ash Manuel, and I'm super excited today to be joined by Michelle Lewis. Now, Michelle is the founder of IME, an educational organisation based in Adelaide dedicated to ADHD awareness and education. Now, Michelle, I love Michelle's story because she was diagnosed with ADHD herself as an adult, and she's actually a teacher with over 30 years of teaching experience, and that's what inspired her to start IME. Now, what I love about this, and this is what I think is such a beautiful and unique situation, is that Michelle is helping young people with ADHD, and she has ADHD herself, and she's a teacher. This is one of the most amazing stories that I've heard in terms of an educator being able to help young people with ADHD, but also teachers and parents. So Michelle runs a lot of one-on-one sessions. She also with students. She also does teacher training. She does parent sessions as well. So I'm really excited to dive in to this conversation today. Before we get into the conversation, we've got a couple of events coming up on September 12th, 2024. We have the 5th annual World's Biggest Gratitude event. Now, this is a event where young people from around the world come together and practice gratitude. It's an online event. It's free. This is the fifth time we've done it. It started during COVID, and it's grown each year. So we have about 50,000 students from 40-odd countries register, and we all come together and practice gratitude and other positive habits all together. So they can see each other on the screen. And it's a really fun and engaging time. And the reason for the event is to bring young people together from around the world to practice gratitude. Because, yes, sometimes I guess we're surrounded by negativity, but there's always so many things to be grateful for around us. And it's a great way to promote gratitude to young people from different parts of the world. So that's coming up on September 12th. You can register at Big Class. That's bigclass.growingwithgratitude.com.au. And register for the event there. Now, also with this episode, Michelle's got a fantastic website called iamme.net. We'll put those links in the show notes. Also, you can reach her on social media. We'll put an email in there as well, because I'd highly recommend teachers and parents reaching out to get Michelle involved with your school or with your student or child, because she's absolutely brilliant what she does. And she's got some giveaways on her website as well. Head over there and make sure that you take advantage of those giveaways as well. So without further ado, we'll get in the conversation with Michelle. Michelle, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Ash. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Thanks. Now, I've been excited to have you on the podcast after getting to know you and getting to know what you actually been doing as well. Now, you're a really interesting person, I find, in terms of you have ADHD yourself and you're diagnosed as an adult. You're also a teacher.
Yes.
And now you really want to make a difference in that space and created a fantastic program called IME. And we'll love to hear about that across our conversation. But if we can just start with, I guess, how your diagnosis, I guess, how you found out that you had ADHD and yeah. I guess your motivation for starting IME to helping kids with ADHD.
Well, I think, so as a child, I didn't have any issues at school. I was a good student. I had lots of fun. I had lots of friends. Everything was fine. But I had a real sort of self-loathing, should I say, which is a special thing. And when I started having kids of my own, I went to a psychologist because I had postnatal depression. And she said, oh, look, I think you've got depression and anxiety, but I think you've probably also got ADHD. And this was, 20 years ago. And I went, oh, yeah, whatever, blah, 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 kept going with life. And then sort of ADHD started getting spoken about more and more on social media, and just I think COVID basically brought that out when people were in lockdowns, that people started talking about it more. Mm. And I started realizing that what they were talking about made so much sense to me, and I'm like, okay, so doesn't everyone think like this? Okay. And yeah, and the psychologist who had said that to me, I said, do you think I should get diagnosed? She said, well, you already are. I'm telling you right now that you will be. And then, but if you want to get an official diagnosis, go for it. And I did that. And I think that that's actually changed everything for me, because now when I do things, instead of beating myself up about doing stupid things, I can actually go, well, actually, that was my ADHD brain. So how can I sort of think about that next time and not do that?
So can I just ask a question about that? So when mm-hmm. when you say, like, that's your ADHD brain, how, can you describe how that is? Like, for someone when I was teaching, we did have ADHD students, and I sometimes sort of struggled to connect with them or teach. So what does that feel like? Is that easy to explain, or is it hard to explain?
It's hilarious, because I think that this is how everyone thinks.
Yeah.
So again, until I found out this was ADHD, I just assumed that everyone interrupts conversations all the time because their information was really important to the conversation. Doesn't everyone do that? So now I think I can recognize, I will actually watch conversations and go, oh, not everyone's interrupting. Maybe I shouldn't be doing that. Maybe that's my ADHD. So it's by looking at the world around you and actually using a different lens, using an ADHD lens, and going, right, not everyone does that. So this must be part of it.
Mm.
And if I want to fit in this situation, maybe I need to change that, which is really sad, because we shouldn't have to mask who we are. But I think a lot of the problems I've had in my past have been because I'm not masking, because I didn't realize I had a problem. Not that it's a problem. Yeah. Yeah.
It makes sense. Yeah, absolutely. And I guess that comes down to awareness, doesn't it? Like what you were saying, like a lot to do with self-awareness, being aware that maybe that's not, as you say, like we don't want to mask like being ourselves, but I guess there is times from what you said, like sound like what you're saying, where there is times where you need to see what's happening around you, because you need to kind of
If you want to fit in, you have to do that.
Yeah.
And that's definitely a huge part of it, and that's what IME is all about. It's about educating. Rather, I don't diagnose people. I'm not a psychologist. Yeah. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm an educator. So I think that if you know about a situation, or you know about yourself, you're going to be winning much more at life.
Mm.
And I think in the past, we've all had to fit into these little boxes of school and uni and work life. And it's not until we hit like our 40s and 50s, everyone starts finding themselves. And it's like, why can't we find ourselves when we're 10? Like, what's wrong
absolutely.
With that? Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I want to talk about a bit more about IME now. So as we mentioned before, you've been a teacher for decades.
30 odd years. Yeah.
Actually, just go back a step. You, my dad actually taught you in high school, didn't he?
He did. He was my favorite. He's actually one of the reasons why I'm a teacher. I love him.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
That's just a bit of a side note, anyway. But IME. So, how did that actually come about? I know that you, just mentioned before that you wanted to, I guess, make a difference and help young people with ADHD from younger age rather than wait until they get older. So tell us a bit more about how it came about and what is IME.
So it started, obviously, with the diagnosis. I became hyperfixated on finding out everything I could about ADHD, and that's still a massive passion, and I talk about it all the time. Don't talk to my children. They'll say, oh, ADHD, stop talking. But I just wanted to understand everything I could, and I still do. And one of the places I went with that was the Adelaide ADHD conference, and as every person got up there and spoke, I realised that the way I was actually learning about myself is a way that students could be learning about themselves, obviously. So if a child could learn why they're doing a certain thing, it's possible they could stop it before it turns into like a big drama, like a big problem, a big deregulation of, I thought that hitting it when they're younger is going to be so much easier. And I was in the perfect position to do that. So just in my classroom, I started trying more and more things, and I realized that I could talk to individual students, because I get on really well with these kids, funnily enough. I'm the naughty teacher and they're the naughty kids, so we bond.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I just decided that, by teaching them how their brain, well, not I don't go all scientific. It's just I throw out all these attributes of ADHD that they have no idea even exist. And the look on their face when I say, oh, so do you get angry quickly? Do you lose everything? Are you really disorganized? Do you never get your work finished? And they're like, yes, yes, yes. And yeah, it's just, I think that it's so important. And I don't know, am I answering the question?
Yeah, absolutely. And
yeah,
it's
I've also felt like the biggest imposter, like imposter syndrome is huge. And as a teacher, I've been waiting for someone to walk into my classroom one day and go, right, get out. You haven't got a clue what you're doing. But with ADHD, I actually feel like I know what I'm talking about. And the kids see that and I feel really qualified, even though, you know, there is no qualification for what I do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think from what I hear that when you went to that conference, did you feel that, like, for example, not to play down what, like, psychologists do, but was it one of those things where you thought maybe, or they don't quite understand maybe from the point of view with a child with ADHD or someone with ADHD, is that fair to say?
Absolutely. And you see so many children being assessed and coming back and they don't know what it is. And their parents often don't want them to know what it is, which is a little bit scary. But yeah, at the conference, they even say things like, make sure you're seeing a neurodiverse clinician, because unless you've lived it, you know, like me explaining to you a minute ago about what it feels like, you're not going to actually feel that for yourself.
No.
You don't. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, I think, as I said, it's such a, I guess, a unique thing that I've never seen before with like a teacher with ADHD, like helping younger student or students with ADHD themselves. So you mentioned that you do this in the classroom, but you do have IME as well, where you do work one-on-one with students.
Yep.
You run teacher training, students, parent sessions as well, because it's not just obviously at school, but it's at home as well. So what are some of those things that, or if you're working, say, one-on-one with a student or even in the classroom, either example, what's some of those things you might work on with those students that you do work with?
Well, basically with the one-on-ones, they come into me and I pull out my pack of 40 playing cards that have 40 different characteristics of ADHD. And we put them all out on the table. Like we play basically Snap. But we put them out on the table and the kids rank them from the things that they feel most to the things they feel the least, because ADHD isn't the same for everyone. It's, you know, like they say, autism's a spectrum. Well, ADHD is also a spectrum. You won't have two ADHD people who have the same characteristics to the same strength. So once they've got all their cards out on the table, then we group them. So there might be lots of things like forgetting instructions, losing things, being disorganized that they sort of put together. So that's sort of, you know, if we're talking scientifically, that's their executive functioning side of it. So they put all that together. And then once they've grouped and got everything out on the table, then we go, well, which of these are sort of negative things and which are positive things? Because there are a lot of positive characteristics of ADHD. And for a child to understand that their hyperfixation is actually can be really a positive thing is fantastic. And if that hyperfixation's Fortnite, then how can we use that hyperfixation? How can that be, you know, instead of their parents telling them to get off of it every 5 minutes, how can we use that for them? Or empathy, things like that, having a lot of empathy, that's seen as a bad thing sometimes because you get involved in everyone else's problems because you feel for them, but it's actually a good thing. So we sort of really break it all down and talk about it. And you know, a lot of my session is listening. Like I'll put something out there and then the child will just go blah, 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 because they feel so seen and they're like, oh, I didn't know this was a thing. I thought this was, you know, I thought everyone did that. What? Oh my goodness. And how I need to fix this. So it's like, no, you don't need to fix things, but how can we work around it so that it doesn't get you into trouble? Because most kids will say to me that I hate getting in trouble at school, which a lot of teachers don't realize because they think that these kids are doing it on purpose, which is so upsetting.
Yeah. And that was my next question, because like, I'm just like, I mean, it's been a while since I've taught, but I just remember like a few times I've probably seen it in classrooms before as well. You might have 25 or six students and it's just that same student. Like you sort of, hear their name
They
over and
won't
over
shut
again.
up. They're always
No.
in your face
And
and
exactly right.
punching
And it
someone.
could be that ADHD student. So what sort of advice can you give to a teacher who, I guess, is teaching a student or two with ADHD? What's maybe one or two points that you could give?
Well, definitely listen to your child. That would be, well, listen to the children and ask them questions would be massive, because a lot of teachers are so busy just getting angry. That sounds bad, isn't it?
I
But
don't know what you
you
mean.
know what I mean? Like, it's, you're so intent on making sure everyone's quiet, making sure everyone's learning, making sure everyone's getting the same information. And if someone comes against that, you sort of get completely derailed and you don't know how to deal with it. But be curious and ask that student, why do they think they're interrupting all the time? And they might say to you, I'm not interrupting, because they don't actually realize that they're doing it. So get them to actually, I don't know, do something different, like have a whiteboard in front of them, and everything they're about to say, just get them to write it down instead. So sort of ask them why they're doing these things, and they're either not going to realize they're doing it, or there's going to be a reason. If they're always wriggling on the carpet or something like that, ask them why. It might be they like, I hate sitting still. Well, how can we fix that? There's ways to fix that stuff. Obviously, you're not going to ask them in the middle of a meltdown because, oh, there's, can I tell you about RSD?
Absolutely. What does RSD stand for, first of all?
Is rejection sensitive dysphoria. So this is massive for ADHD people. It's not exclusive to ADHD people, but it's the physical pain of rejection. And that might sound ridiculous if you've never had that before, but if a teacher looks at you sideways and you go, oh my God, what have I done? What have I done? You might then just burst into tears. You might run out of the room. You might start hitting someone. There might be a massive reaction because you think you've just done something wrong and you don't know how to deal with it. RSD shows up a lot in perfectionism. So if you've got kids who aren't doing their work, it could be because they think they're going to get it wrong because they got it wrong once. And they're so terrified of getting it wrong again because that's going to actually hurt them inside. Then they're not going to do their work. They're not going to hand it up on time. They've probably done it, but they're just too scared to hand it up. That's one of my students I've found. She's done all the work. She just never hands it up, which is so confusing as a teacher to go, why would you do that? But the RSD is so strong, especially in adolescence. It's crazy. But yeah, unless you understand that and are sort of, okay, so if a kid's having a meltdown, you might need to remove them from the classroom, whatever, but don't punish them because they don't know why they're doing it. And they've already beating themselves up about it. So discuss it, work through it, talk to them about other options that they could do in that situation. Role play other options. Really sort of make it obvious to them, because what's obvious to you might not be obvious to them.
No,
Also,
that
oh,
yeah, go
sorry.
on. No, you're right, go on.
I was just going to say, check your rules. Like, what are non-negotiables? Obviously, violence, abuse, stuff like that is not okay. But if you say to an ADHD kid, respect others, what does that mean? What does that look like? I haven't got a clue. So you're going to have to really break it down. And I mean, you'll probably find that that's going to help a lot of your children as well.
Absolutely. And I think just like recapping on what you just spoke about then, Michelle, I think a good thing to do is actually talk with the student about
Oh, always.
certain things they do. And also from, I guess, and maybe is that a conversation you could have at the start of the year? Like to set
Absolutely.
the to get off on a good step. I guess that's a teacher showing initiative, but also showing empathy towards the student. And
Have
also
regular check-in times. Like, you know, every Monday at 2 o'clock is the time that we sit down and have a little chat. Like, I don't know. We make sure that you're, yeah, you get, I mean, you should be doing it with all your students, really, because a lot of them will be undiagnosed 100 different things. And we all know that relationships are really important, but there are still teachers out there that just say they don't have time. They've got to get the data done. They've got to get the curriculum out there. But I think, especially in primary school, the relationships are so much more important.
No, absolutely. Totally agree with that. I just want to move on to the parents. So I know that you do run parent workshops. So what role, I guess, parents, like what role do they play in supporting their children with ADHD, and how can they collaborate best with the educators? I mean, obviously they're going to play a major role because they spend a lot of time at home, but also they spend a lot of time at school.
I think, again, listening to your child, listening is so, so important. And often a child's going to say something that you don't want to hear. And you've just got to listen and understand and be flexible. Because, again, like I said with the teachers, you've got to work out what things are non-negotiables, and there's got to be a reason for that. Because an ADHD child, if they don't understand your rule, they don't care. Like, if it's not important to them, and or they don't know how important it is to you, then it sounds really bad. It sounds like, oh, I don't care. But just in their brain, it's not important. So, yeah, like if you say to them, I only want you to have half an hour screen time a week or a day or whatever, you've got to explain why. And if they say to you, I really need to play Roblox for half an hour every day when I get home, ask them why. Because it might be that that's their way of regulating themselves after a day of having to listen and think and concentrate. That might just be their mindless play where they can just zone out, and then after that half an hour, set a timer, then they can go, right, I'm done, I'm good, let's go, let's do home time now. So they might not even realize, but the more you talk to them, like being honest and getting them to be honest is such a great life skill.
And
I know a lot of parents worry about, you know, not being a good parent, like not being that insta perfect, you know, my child has to not eat sugar and not have screen time. But you've got to get to know your child really well, and that's important. So when you go and talk to teachers, you're going to find two different sorts of teachers. You're either going to have the ADHD aware teachers or the really non-ADHD aware teachers. ADHD aware teachers, if they might, I mean, you might not know your child's ADHD. And if they say to you that your child, you should really look at having an assessment for your child for ADHD, you've got to listen to that. And you've got to understand that that teacher has probably gone through so much stress about saying that to you. They've probably already in their head gone, oh, that parent's going to hate me forever, and talked about it with three other teachers to worked out ways that they're going to say this to you. It's not just a flippant, oh, I think your kid's got ADHD. So for you to hear that is often really, really hard. But the labelling thing, so many parents are like, I don't want my child to be labelled. But you've got to understand every child is labelled. Every child is labelled. You're either the smart kid, the naughty kid, the silly kid, the, you know, and the kids label themselves. I'm stupid. I'm dumb. I'm loud. I'm naughty. Labels are just not a thing. Like, no one cares. And if you've got an ADHD-aware teacher, they're probably teaching their kid about ADHD, teaching their class about ADHD anyway, and ASD and how to deal with this. So don't fear the label. Listen to the teacher, because they will see your student in ways that you never see your child. Yep. They see them having to deal with problems every day that they never have to deal with at home. They have to stand in front of a whole class and talk about what they did on the weekend. They can't even remember what they did on the weekend. Or they have to sit for half an hour in assembly and not speak and sit still for it's, you know, you never do that at home. So you've got to listen to the teachers, absolutely, and it's really hard. But if they're a non-ADHD aware teacher and you've got an ADHD kid, that's tricky. So you can try to educate that teacher. You can talk to the inclusive ed person or learning support in your school. But sometimes you're not going to get anywhere, and this is where it's a learning time for your student, your child, and you teach them to read the room and actually go, I can't change this person, so I'm going to have to change how I'm reacting to this person. I have to maybe follow these rules in this class, and it's going to be really, really hard. So how can I do that in a way that's not going to upset that teacher? Okay, if I'm not allowed to have a fidget, maybe I fidget with my clothes. Maybe I fidget with a pencil, but I don't do it noisily. I've got to be aware of my things that I need. And if that teacher's not going to let me have it, how can I deal with that? And the parent, sometimes there's just teachers that you can't talk to, unfortunately. That's really sad, but it's true. So you can try. You can call me and I'll come and teach the teachers. Yeah. And
absolutely. No, and I was just going to ask about, I guess, that next, yeah, bit more about IME. So you mentioned before you got the teacher training, you work with students individually, you do parent sessions as well. Before we get, just going back to the students, so I know that you've had great success working one-on-one with the students because other parents have referred referred you to other friends.
Yeah, word of mouth is big.
Word of mouth. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
So I know that's been a very successful, I guess, four sessions to initially?
Based on four sessions. Yeah. Some students only need that four.
Yep.
Others, there's another student that I see weekly because she just really enjoys me checking in with her every week. So it's negotiable how I work. Yeah.
Yeah. I only mentioned before about that, the strengths, the characters of a student with ADHD. What are some of those characters? Like, I don't have to go through 40, but what's just a few of them?
Blurting out things, interrupting, like I said before, getting angry, losing things, forgetting instructions, climbing trees. There you go. There's one you probably didn't know.
That's wrong.
Sensory stuff like strong smells, strong taste, strong touch, not accepting, like thinking that you're right all the time, which also sounds weird. Yeah, a lot of them sound really weird if you don't have ADHD, but if you do have ADHD, you suddenly go, that's a thing.
So with like that first like session, you go through the cards as you mentioned, and you mentioned a few of the characteristics then. So what happens in maybe after that, but also in the other sessions as well? What sort of things do you work on with the students?
Well, then we go through and they pick the things they want that are the most negative. One of the important diagnostic things of ADHD is that it's affected your life negatively. So when everyone says, oh, everyone's got ADHD, well, yeah, everyone's got a few characteristics of ADHD, but has it affected your life negatively? Do you lose your keys so many times that you've missed appointments and you can't go to work? And, you know, there's different levels of having ADHD, obviously, because a lot of people don't. So we look at the negative effects and then we come up with strategies and possibly role plays, or I use a lot of catchphrases and have these posters that my kids have up in their rooms, and things like, and visual cues as well as the mental sort of cues to when they're in a situation. Like for me right now, I've got running through my head, in your head, not out your mouth, in your head, not out your mouth, because I don't want to say the wrong thing.
Yeah.
So things like that. Those sort of catchphrases are really good. Something like, you know, wearing a bracelet on your hand so that every time you're about to interrupt in class, you look at your bracelet and go, actually, now's not the time. I'll talk to the teacher later.
Yep.
Just different things like that. And these strategies, we come back and we evaluate how they've worked. So I talk about self-advocacy because, you know, you're in charge of your own destiny, basically. But if you've gone and talked to a teacher and said, look, I'm trying to do this, I'm trying to look at my bracelet instead of interrupting, I'm trying to when I'm sitting, I'm going to jiggle a little bit, I hope that's okay with you. When I'm doing quiet work, do you mind if I have headphones in to listen to my music? And if the teacher's willing for all of this sort of stuff and it's working, a child might find out that a month later that this stuff isn't working anymore. Like, I'm looking at my bracelet, but I don't care. I'm over it. So then we go back and we evaluate and say, okay, well, that didn't work. Let's try something new for the next month, because things are always going to change.
Yep.
And, you know, ADHD, we get bored. So, we're constantly evaluating. And I'm teaching the children, hopefully, to learn to evaluate themselves and work that out for themselves.
Brilliant.
And then hopefully one of my students at the end of their four sessions, best thing I've ever heard, she said she'd learnt to work with her ADHD instead of using it as an excuse. God, and that was tears. Yeah. I was so excited because, that's a lot of kids are like, oh, that's just my ADHD, miss. Sorry, miss, that's my ADHD. Yeah, nah. You've got to get on in the world and work that out.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I think ADHD like can be an advantage. Like you hear about some most, well, in terms of like multi-billionaires, million, that a lot of them have ADHD. What's that? just had balloons. I know we're not recording this on, like, you won't see this, but balloons just came across the screen. That was really weird.
It's came on the screen. Very ADHD of you, Ash. Brilliant.
Anyway, how can students, like, use it an advantage?
The creativity,
like, great,
is amazing. The creativity and the hyper-focus is so amazing. You'll find most, you know, famous actors and actresses and inventors and, you know, it's all there, and a lot of it's undiagnosed. A lot of the best teachers are 100% ADHD. The ones that are just in there with their kids, acting like kids and just identifying so well, that's generally ADHD coming in. And, you know, people that don't, that that get bored with things, they're going to create change. They're going to create new things, better things. And what more do you want in the world is something better.
Absolutely.
So, ADHD is amazing, but it also sucks.
Yeah, I can see, but it sounds like there's some positives, and then there's some negatives. A lot of most things, like a lot of characteristics we have, like we have some strengths and we have some weaknesses. Yeah. I guess it's the same, but they might be slightly different to people who don't. But it sounds like what you're aiming to do is to help the students identify some of those things that they might cause issues in society if they can be aware of it, and then come up with some strategies that will help that, but also really hone in on the strengths of the ADHD.
And being comfortable with their strengths. So I was told in my first week of teaching that I was too loud. And you can't be loud as a teacher, because then your kids will be loud and then they can't concentrate and nobody will be able to concentrate and the class next to you won't be able to concentrate. So for, you know, the first 15 years of my teaching career, I was so stressed about being loud. And now I embrace it and the kids respond to it. And they're loud, but they're learning at the same time. Like, it's so much fun. And I think if you're not having fun while you're learning, what's the point? So ADHD is a lot of all or nothing thinking as well. So like I said, you're either super hyper excited and creative and everything's amazing, or you're angry with yourself because you're the crazy teacher and you're the loose cannon of the staff room who's saying the stuff that shouldn't be said. And, you know, so there's so many extremes, it's hilarious. But teaching kids to be proud of what they can do and who they are. I mean, my behaviour management used to be absolutely terrible because I think I didn't believe it. And so I was trying to make these kids do all these things and I was like, oh, whatever. But now I work with the student rather than trying to create a student. Does that make sense?
So, yeah, it does. So what are some of the, how do you do that? Like, because that's a really interesting point, because my behaviour management when I was teaching absolutely was horrendous.
Yeah.
Like, just didn't have, like, at university, you don't really get poor behaviour management. Like, you've got to work it out yourself or get mentored by another teacher. So what are some of the, how do you work with the student?
Well, you treat them like that. You treat them like humans, because they are humans. They're not this little robotic mass that are going to do exactly what you say. My classroom has so many different seating options. We've got beanbags, we've got the floor, we've got under a table, we've got a couch, we've got wobble chairs, we've got whatever. So that whatever child thinks that they need, they can find that at that exact moment. And it might be that they need to sit up. And I talk to the kids about my ADHD and I talk to them about how I'm feeling. And I think by creating an honest and open sort of thing on my side, they can come back to me and go, oh, Miss Lewis, I just can't concentrate right now. And I'm like, right, what can we do? Do you want to sit under that table because it's really dark? And then, like, we'll make a little cubby and then people won't distract you. Oh, that's a great idea. And they'll try that. No, that's not working anymore. So you just be open to giving ideas but listening and letting that happen, I think, is so important. And I do get people come into my classroom going, what are you doing? I'm like, everyone's learning. Sorry, go and ask them a question. They'll be able to tell you exactly what's happening.
When you talk about your classroom, you're not a classroom teacher as such. You're a specialist teacher with what do you call it? Is it technology?
It's digital tech to junior primary, but I also teach music to year music. 4 to 6. Yep. So a lot of classroom teachers will say, oh, you can't do that in a normal classroom. I have been a classroom teacher as well, and I do still go into classrooms to teach. So, and that's one thing about IME, that I never want to stop teaching just to do IME. I always want to be a teacher still, so that I make sure I'm still relevant and making sure, because it is such a classroom-based thing, that I want to stay in there, and I love it.
Absolutely. No, yeah. I know that you're very passionate, and we need to keep our best teachers in the in schools, but what you're doing as well with IME is such an important thing as well. So it's you're contributing in so many different ways. And I guess we're just moving on to the teacher side of things. So you mentioned about the teacher training. So if you're, for example, I don't know, school wants you to come in and run a session, or maybe you're running a teacher session where maybe you're hosting at a venue and teachers from different schools can come. Mm-hmm. What are some of those things? We might have already touched on some of them, but what are some of those things you talk about? Do you give strategies like we just spoken about? How does that work?
Look, it's really interesting, because giving strategies, it's sort of showing the saying that every ADHD kid's the same. So I do give some strategies, obviously, and I've got a handout on my website that is all about teacher strategies. But a lot of what I do is talk about what ADHD is and what it feels like and what it looks like. And so many teachers come out of my sessions saying that they feel seen, because I don't go in and say, oh, you've got a lovely ADHD students, because I know that ADHD students are really hard to teach. And I've had to teach them for over 30 years. And it's hard work if you're trying to be something that doesn't fit with them. That sounds really self-centered of the child. It's just, you know what I mean.
Yep.
But, yeah, they feel really seen, and they feel like they can understand these kids better now. And so many things that I talk about, they've seen in their classroom, and suddenly the light flashes and it all makes sense to them. One teacher came out in tears because she felt like she'd been doing a disservice to children all this time. And I'm like, it's okay. Like, forget about tomorrow. Forget about yesterday. It can be quite powerful for some people. And a lot of teachers think about their own children as well, because a lot of us have got our own kids.
Yeah. And I think as you say, like, such a powerful thing, you yourself, like, understanding through having ADHD, like, understanding how it feels, so you can put yourself, I guess, in the student's situation, but also share your experiences for yourself with the teachers, and that's such a unique thing. And that's why I'm really excited to talk to you about this, because I don't think I've ever come across a teacher who is doing things like you are, and it's such a unique thing. And
they're just too scared to talk about it.
Exactly, and that might be a thing with ADHD, but you're putting yourself out there. I know that you coming on this podcast today felt a bit anxious about it, but you're doing a great job. And hopefully we can get you out to as many schools as we can, whether that's working with students, parent sessions, teacher sessions. I know that you're going to do a few parent. Oh, no, what have you got coming up? I know that you've got a couple of things coming up.
Yeah, so I've got a parent workshop coming up at the Goodwood Community Centre in November, and also I'll be exhibiting at the ADHD conference in Adelaide on September 14. Google it. It's amazing. If you've never been to one of these, if you've got a child with ADHD, you have ADHD, you suspect, you're a teacher, it's so good. It's just a fantastic thing, and you can come and talk to me. And, what else have I got? I've got some other parent workshops down in Glenelg that I'll be running later, probably term four.
Yep.
And
are they on your website?
Some of them are. Yep. Still getting in touch with some of those
absolutely.
Things. Yeah,
absolutely. So we'll also
contact me.
Yeah, we'll put your email and website into the show notes. So it's what's your website?
IME.net.au.
Yep. IME.net.au. And also, you've got a giveaway on the website that people can download.
I've got a couple of giveaways, for teachers, some strategies for teachers. I also, because I work in the music sector as well, I had some instrumental teachers come to me and say, oh, I don't know what to do with my ADHD kids. So I made a whole list of strategies for instrumental teachers. If you become a member of my website, which is free, you can access all of my catchphrase posters and print them out. There's like about 8 of them. And I'm starting a forum on my website as well, where people can talk about their stuff. So if you remember, which is really easy to do.
Yeah, and you're on LinkedIn and a few other socials as well. So we'll put
Insta,
all
Twitter,
those.
not Twitter, X, whatever it's called.
Yeah, whatever it's
Facebook.
called. Yeah. And we'll put all those in the show notes as well so people can connect. But no, I think this has been a brilliant conversation, Michelle, and I really appreciate the time. And even, I mean, we've spoken a bit over the last few months, but like, honestly, I've learned some more things today that I can, when I go out personally, I can go out into schools, I can be aware of as well. It's certainly great, amazing knowledge and the impact that you're having with IME, but also as the contribution you've made as a teacher over from 3 decades is amazing. So well done on that.
Thank you.
And hopefully we can get as many people
Come and
yes.
talk to me. And thank you, Ash, for talking to me and letting me get my word out there that ADHD
pleasure.
is not evil.
It's one of those, I think this will be a really popular episode because I know that it's one of those things that teachers do find challenging. So a lot of great tips that people can start to try, and especially having those conversations with the students, I think that's really important.
I think one thing I hadn't said is for you students, especially like teenage students, TikTok is an amazing community for ADHD people. The amount of TikToks on there that are helpful is ridiculous. Like, and I haven't seen one that's not helpful. And Instagram, podcasts, there's a million ADHD podcasts. Fit them in, that's more for older people. Little kids don't listen to podcasts.
Yeah.
But just finding a community of people that you feel seen with is so important.
Yeah,
so
no,
yeah
absolutely. And I highly recommend everyone go to ime.net.au and join Michelle's community over there as well, as she's got lots of free resources, forums starting up, events happening. So, get on board.
Awesome.
Excellent. Oh, thanks, Michelle.
Thanks,
Appreciate you
Ash.
coming on today.
Awesome.
And thank you very much.
Anytime.